I always think it's a great blessing to gather together with the Lord's people and really worship the Lord. And I think it's a great thing for Trinity Bible Church and Hillcrest Chapel and other churches as well to come. And what we have in common is the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have in common is our salvation in Christ. And truly, it's an amazing thing to be able to gather together and really worship the Lord. And worship, I want to just talk about for a few minutes. Worship is the highest service we offer to God. When we worship God, we are exercising, I believe, the highest aspect of the Christian life. I don't separate it from all the rest of life, but for us to stand before God and worship Him is really an amazing thing for us to do. And we do that because of Him. And you say, well, what kind of worship is pleasing to God? And the Bible answers that. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what that means is we worship God with the whole of our body, soul and spirit, the whole of our being, praising God for the whole of His being. God is the one who has given Himself to us in order to change our hearts and change our lives in order that we might give Him the praise and the glory. This morning in Sunday school, Doug Kiefer spoke on Revelation chapter 4. And as he looked at that passage, in a number of cases, he was forced to say, I really don't know exactly what this means. I don't know exactly how this will play out. But when you look at the worship that is taking place in Revelation chapter 4, we are going to be stunned and amazed when we see what can't even fully be understood here on earth now as we look at Revelation chapter 4, but the wonder of being before the throne of God and seeing the worship that takes place in heaven. You know, you can only stand back from Revelation chapter 4 and just say, that's amazing. This is amazing. There's things flying around. There's the saints and gathered there, the elders falling on their faces before God, saying, holy, holy, holy. This is an amazing scene. And then I think about that, and I think of what Jesus encountered when He came to earth. And He came into the temple, and the temple and the tabernacle are a type of the real worship that takes place in heaven. The reality of what the throne of God looks like. What we think of as the tabernacle, what we think as the temple, is really the throne room of God. It's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ sitting upon the throne in the midst of His people in the Old Testament. It is the throne room. And in order to come into the throne room, you have to offer sacrifices. You have to be pleasing to God because we are sinners with a holy God. But you look at that scene in the Old Testament and it seems sort of quiet. And there's, in the Old Testament, there's a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. So there's the presence of God is clearly there. But it's nothing like Revelation chapter 4. And when Jesus confronted people in the Old Testament, I can tell you what worship does not look like. And worship does not look like Jeremiah chapter 7. And Jeremiah came to a people who were disobedient to God, and yet they were attempting to worship God. In fact, they thought they were worshiping God. It's an interesting passage when you're speaking of worship, and it says, and notice this is, I'm going to give you a negative illustration just because the Bible gives this to us. Sometimes we're told what worship is, sometimes we're told what worship is not. This is the is not passage. the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 7. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you Judah who enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Here are these people coming and they're saying, we're in the Lord's temple. This is the temple of the Lord, and we are here to worship the Lord. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. Following that introduction, there is a condemnation of the coming judgment that is going to fall upon Judah for their wickedness. But the one thing the Lord despises is this people coming in all of their wickedness, thinking that saying the temple is the Lord's, the temple is the Lord's, that somehow that makes this worship pleasing to God. And what the Lord is saying in this passage is that worship is not the act of 1 hour. It's not the act of coming and worshiping God. Worship is the action of our entire lives. It's the presentation that we make of ourselves to God. When God saves us, he doesn't just save us to glory. When God saves us, he saves us to himself. And therefore, the whole of our life is a worship service to God. We are presenting ourselves to God every moment of every day. And he says you can't segment worship. Here we're going to come and worship because we have this God who enables us to do everything else we want to do. Worship cannot be segmented from just a portion of your life. It's the expression of the whole of your life. When Jesus came to the temple, he came from the presence of God, so to speak, of Revelation chapter 4. He came from the place where God is worshiped in holiness and truth by the whole of this audience that is before him. And Jesus came and he used these same words to describe the way in which the children of Israel were worshiping him then. He said, has this house which is called by my name become a den of thieves? That's exactly what it says when Jesus came. In New Testament times, he stands there in the temple saying, this is not the worship of the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to come before the Lord, being born again, sinners saved by grace, to come to worship God for that which he has done in our hearts. If we believe, I was going to say half, but I'll say, if we believe 3/4 of what we've been singing, That's amazing grace. That's amazing that we, the Lord's people, can sing three-fourths of what we've been singing tonight. That's really what worship is. It's worship. This God has transformed us in order that we might be completely for Him. You know what's going to please? I'm going to tell you this so you'll be prepared for this. When you get to heaven, I think this may happen, so I'm just saying be prepared. When you get to heaven, the Lord's going to come up and He's going to put a crown on your head. And when He does that, you're going to know like you've never known that holy, holy, holy is standing in front of you trying to put a crown upon your head. What you're going to want to do is you're going to want to say, no, 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 no. It's to your, you wear the crowns and I will bow down before you. But it pleases the Lord to change us in such a way that He can put a crown upon our heads. And it pleases the Lord that He puts the crown upon our heads when we are, as some of these songs were saying, we are lost, blind, and dead sinners. That He has transformed and put a crown upon our head, which is a tribute not to us. It is a great tribute to Him that He could crown us and say that you can stand in my presence because you are fully forgiven and you are righteous before me. The crown is a tribute to Jesus Christ. The crown is a tribute to God the Father. The crown is a tribute to the Holy Spirit. The crown is a tribute to all that He has done in us in order that we might worship Him with the whole of our lives. And as Jeremiah comes to the end of this great rebuke, he comes with a passage I just want to end with. We actually sang a song, a verse that was very similar to this. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 9, after pronouncing the judgment that is to come, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me. I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness," which is that loyal love, "judgment," which is justice, "and righteousness in the earth. I am the Lord. In these I delight, says the Lord." So we come before the Lord not boasting in what we are. We come before the Lord worshiping because of what He is and who He is and all that He's done in us. And we say, "Glory be to God." And we do it imperfectly now. When we get to heaven and move into that Revelation chapter 4 scene before the throne of God, we're going to do it perfectly. We are going to worship God as we ought. But what a great privilege it is to come together as the Lord's people and worship the Lord. And just remember this. Many, if not most people living in our country do not thank the Lord for anything. They don't thank the Lord that the sun is coming up tomorrow. They don't thank the Lord for the food they eat. They don't thank the Lord for this country that we live in. They don't thank the Lord for anything. So worship is the burden, a great burden, that falls on our shoulders. We're the ones who worship the Lord. We're the ones who have been transformed by His grace. We're the ones who stand and say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." And when we say that from the bottom of our hearts to the whole of our being, that's the praise and worship that delights the Lord. It's wonderful for us to have a great time this evening worshiping God. It's another thing to be able to look into the face of God and see His smiling face saying, "I love that worship. I love that worship." We're not the only people who worship God. There are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. The children of Israel brought Baal figures into the temple with them, into the temple area with them. They didn't say, this is the Lord, this is the Lord's temple, this is the Lord. They didn't say that thinking that it wasn't anything but the Lord's temple, but they brought idols and other things to worship with sinful hearts. And the Lord said, that's not mine. May the Lord help us to worship him in spirit and in truth. May the Lord help us to worship him with hearts that belong to him. May the Lord help us to worship him as individuals transformed by the grace of God. May God continue that work in us, that we may be absolutely pleasing in his sight, righteous, fully forgiven of our sins, clothed in glory, standing in his presence. We have a great expectation in the days to come of entering into that worship service. That will be a great day. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the living God and you have transformed our hearts and lives. We thank you for the grace that we have found only in Jesus Christ, and that he is our Savior. He died in our place. He took our place. He took our sins. He took our wrath, and he saved us. He secured our forgiveness. He clothed us in his righteousness, and we stand before you in the righteousness of Christ, in the full forgiveness that he secured. We stand before you as trophies of your grace, trophies of your grace. And we don't glory in ourselves. We don't glory in riches. We don't glory in strength. We don't glory in anything other than that we know the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ lives in us. So we thank you for the blessing that you have given to us this evening. We pray your blessing on our continued fellowship and the food that we eat. We pray that all of this is just opportunity for us to rejoice even more in you. So we pray your blessing to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.